Our God is with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The Gospel of Jesus Christ, the chosen one of God, begins as it was written in Isaiah the prophet. I send my messenger before you to prepare your way. A herald's voice in the desert crying, make ready the way of our God. Clear a straight path. And so John the Baptist arrived in the desert, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to John and were baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. John was clothed in camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist. And he ate nothing but grasshoppers and wild honey. In the course of preaching, John said, one more powerful than I is to come after me. I am not fit to stoop and untie his sandal straps. I have baptized you in water, but the one to come will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. The good news.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Stories about John the Baptizer appear in all four Gospels. He is a strong and prominent figure every Advent. He is depicted as intensely dedicated to the task of getting people prepared for the coming of the Just One. A tough-talking, no-nonsense preacher of repentance who was not intimidated by anyone. Not even Herod, who, the story goes, threw John into prison for running his mouth too much and criticizing Herod for his extreme immorality. But that's not all there is to the uniqueness of John's character. He is a true oddball. His diet and his sense of fashion are bizarre, to say the least. I'll tell you, I gave up my camel's hair shirt a long time ago. And I can't imagine eating grasshoppers. Yeah. But we get a picture of a seemingly crazy guy who knew exactly who he was and proclaimed it boldly. I am, he says in the Gospel of John, as Isaiah prophesied, the voice of someone crying out in the wilderness, make straight our God's road. And the other three gospel authors made the same connection to Isaiah's prophecy. Call him crazy, but he knew who he was. The one who was carrying on the tradition of the great visionaries of the past. The ones who knew God's people could do way better in matters of justice, in the ways of holiness. Way better at working for a new earth where, our second reading says, the justice of God will reside. John, in all of his weirdness, knew his true identity as a messenger of repentance and hope. The story says he quite literally lost his head over his dedication to this message. I am the voice, said John, and he would not be silenced. Telling the world who you really are takes incredible courage. Just ask our transgender and non-binary siblings. Cisgender and heterosexual folks are often threatened by the unapologetic honesty of those of us in the minority, and their fear can turn to violence. So we need courage. Courage is from the Latin word for heart. Brené Brown, the popular author and researcher, said in her famous TED Talk that when that word first came into the English language, it was used as a verb. And the original definition was to tell the story of who you are with your whole heart. to tell the story of who you are with your whole heart. Out and proud LGBTQ plus folks and their allies have always had to exercise courage, just as the baptizer did. It is a sign of the Spirit in all God's people. Courage is a sign of that. Our Advent task is to know who we are and to proclaim it with courage, with your whole heart. It is to prepare for the coming of the Christ by being the voice. Not just having a voice you don't use. I prepare, as John did, by giving the prophet within me a voice to wholeheartedly call the world to change. So I must know who I am. I am, like John, a prophet. In the Catholic rite of baptism, when the baptized is anointed with chrism, the celebrant prays, "As Christ was anointed priest, prophet, and royalty, so may you live always as a member of his body, sharing everlasting life." I am a prophet. My baptism says so. I know who I am. I am an image of the divine. I am a member of the body of Christ. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. I am a person dedicated to the values and mission of Jesus. I am a recipient of the divine call to love even my enemies and to call them and myself to repentance. I can't effectively be a voice, a courageous voice, until I know who I most genuinely am. Know who you are, people of God. But telling the story of who you are with your whole heart usually puts you on the fringes of society. It exiles you to the wilderness where the baptizer was. Back in 1982, gay psychotherapist John Fortunato wrote a wonderful book called Embracing the Exile, Healing Journeys of Gay Christians. Then, as now, there were those who thought the term gay Christians was an oxymoron. The way that prophet and grasshopper eater didn't fit expectations in the baptizer's day. Still, the wilderness is where we must all accept our apparent inner contradictions and find ourselves if we hope to be a well-trained voice. In Fortunato's book, he wrote, "What you are being invited to consider is that the spiritual depths down to which gay people are often thrust, that is, the wilderness to which they have been exiled, isn't such a bad place at all. In fact," he wrote, "it may be the only sane place to be, a blessing. The wilderness is a blessing for all of us." Several years ago, I attended a rally at which I heard some wonderful activists speak, including Vermont's Senator Bernie Sanders. We were angry at that rally because just the night before, early that morning, in fact, the U.S. Senate passed a so-called tax reform bill that numerous independent, nonpartisan groups severely criticized. Provisions in the bill would result in 13 million people losing their health insurance. Leading economists called this bill a huge disaster for the nation, actually raising taxes for the great majority of us. There was nearly universal agreement among the bill's critics that it simply robbed from the poor and middle class in order to enrich the upper 1%, who clearly didn't need it. How, many of us wondered, could anyone with a conscience support this? We had plenty to be angry about. But I remember one of the speakers at the rally was from the wilderness of a poor rural county. She was a proud, tough, courageous, plain-spoken Appalachian mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother who, like the baptizer, did not hesitate to quote Isaiah as she lambasted the politicians responsible for this scam. Woe to you who make unjust laws, to those who issue oppressive decrees, to deprive the poor of their rights and withhold justice from the oppressed of my people, making widows their prey and robbing the fatherless. What will you do on the day of reckoning when disaster comes from afar? To whom will you run for help? Where will you leave your riches? She was angry, that lady. She was a modern day John the Baptizer, a courageous voice crying out in the wilderness, her place of blessing, calling the powerful to repentance. That's not just having a voice. That's knowing who you are and being the voice. Prepare the way of our God. That's what the voice says. The voice which Isaiah described and which is embodied by God's people when they live their prophetic calling. I prepare the way when I know who I really am. I am the voice when I speak up, when I refuse to be silent in the face of injustice. I prepare the way in the wilderness for the coming of God when I attack and expose the corporate sins that harm God's people. And, so importantly, I prepare the way when I acknowledge the personal, unloving attitudes that are in my own heart. I have to be the voice of justice for myself as well. I have to smooth out the rough road within me. I have to be the voice that demands that my soul clear a path on which the just one may come to me. The wilderness is a place of blessing, the marginal world where God's most zealous ones are disciplined, made into disciples. It's a blessing because this is the place where your voice can be fine-tuned. It is the place where you take voice lessons to move beyond just having a voice to being the voice. It is the place where Jesus himself went for 40 days and 40 nights to do battle with the devil, so the story says. It is there that he learned who he truly was and found his voice, his sense of mission. After returning from there, he stayed on the margins. He entered another wilderness, getting his voice trained even further among the poor, the sick, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the ones not welcome in the temple. He gets to know their wilderness and stays there. If he was to be the voice that announces that the reign of God is here, he needed wilderness training. So, we are blessed to be who we are and where we are. On the fringes, meeting in out-of-the-way places such as the basement of a church, without any official approval from church authorities, dismissed as heretics by some, gathering where sexual minorities and gender minorities and women and the unordained lead liturgies that many call illicit, where some of us take positions on social issues that would be condemned by good Christians, and profess a faith that is way too progressive for some, we might as well be wearing camel hair and eating grasshoppers. This is our wilderness. We are right where the crazy baptizer would be, and labeled crazy right along with him. We are so blessed to be where we are, because where else could we get such amazing voice lessons? Where else can we learn so well the skill of being the voice? I think of someone who treasured that skill, former Secretary of State and the first woman to have that job, Madeleine Albright, who died last year. She began her life in the wilderness of Nazi-occupied Czechoslovakia, from which her family escaped. Now, there's a wilderness. She once observed, "My driving force is that I want to make a difference. It took me quite a long time to develop a voice. And now that I have it, I am not going to be silent. Perhaps our Advent task is to cast off the silence that comes from fear and to know who we most genuinely are, to embrace our exile in whatever wilderness we find ourselves, and to learn from our fellow outcasts how to make ready the way of our God and clear God a straight path. Then, as Isaiah said, the glory of God shall be revealed, and all shall see it together. Your thoughts?